In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Gospel said today, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I bet he was after 40 days and 40 nights. So the Gospel for this Sunday, this one, which is the first Sunday of Lent, suggests that Lent is a call to the wilderness. That's where we find Jesus, and Lent is in some sense a spiritual emulation of Jesus in this respect, of course. We're kind of used to thinking of Lent as a time of giving things up, right? Period of fasting, in imitation of Jesus' 40 days fast. But I think we're less apt to notice that it is also a call to the wilderness, right? We're emulating Jesus, and he fasted in the wilderness. So what does it mean? The wilderness in this respect. It means, I think, and I'm not alone in thinking this, I'm not just making this up, right? It means that solitude and silence are somehow integral, essential for the Lenten spiritual task at hand. Solitude and silence. And they are perhaps as central to the Lenten thing that we are engaged in the church as fasting itself. Solitude, silence. The wilderness is a place, of course, apart from the world by definition. It is apart from the affairs of men, apart from busyness and bluster. It is a synonym for the desert, right? When I think of the desert, I think mostly of hot and dry. But of course, the word desert means a deserted place, an empty place, a wilderness, right? That's as much an aspect of Lent as fasting. And actually, a big part of the point of fasting is to make yourself a wilderness, to turn your body and your soul into an empty place, right? Something that's not full of food, of self-indulgence, of whatever it is. The last men's group meeting, which was a week and a half ago, happened to be on the feast day of Saint Romuald, the famous Saint Romuald. He's not very famous, actually. But he was a great spiritual teacher in the 10th century. And we happened to be meeting on his feast day. And I shared with the men at the men's group on that Wednesday morning something that Saint Romuald wrote about the spiritual life that I found resonant, you know, that really captured my attention when I first read it. Here's what Romuald said. Romuald, by the way, he's a hermit who was a reformer of the Benedictine order of monks, spiritual ancestors are still around. It's called the Camaldolese order of monks in the Catholic Church. So anyway, Saint Romuald was the founder of that order in the 10th century. So anyway, this is something he said that really struck me, and I shared it with the men at the men's group meeting the last time we met, which happened to be on his feast day. And it's about this emptiness and solitude and silence and fasting and so forth. Here's what he said. He said, empty yourself completely and sit waiting. Empty yourself completely and sit waiting. Sit as though you were in paradise. Put the whole world behind you and forget it. Watch your thoughts like a good fisherman watching for fish. The path that you must follow is in the Psalms. Never leave that path, he said. Empty yourself completely and sit waiting. Watch your thoughts. The path that you need to walk is in the Psalms. Don't leave that path. We should note, I think, that the wilderness, this wilderness, the spiritual emptiness, the solitude and silence, right, the spiritual place that's devoid of other things, is not an end in itself. We enter a spiritual wilderness, as in Lent, for a purpose. It's not an end in itself. And we see the purpose in today's gospel as well. When Jesus goes into the wilderness, when he becomes empty by fasting, when he goes into this silent, still, lonely place, when he has left the busyness and the bluster of the world behind him, what does he find? He finds Satan. He finds the dragon. So what is that about? I think it means that when everything is left behind and forgotten, the busyness of the world, the affairs of men, when you're fasting, when you've become empty, you get to this place of emptiness and quiet and solitude, what manifests itself is the fundamental power that is at work in the world and in our lives, but usually behind the scenes, in secret. That's what manifests itself at first, our adversary, the tempter, the power that is always seeking to scatter us in a million different directions, to shatter us into a million different pieces, that is working to alienate us from one another, to lead us off the path, right? The power always enticing us off of God's path. That's what we encounter at first. Satan manifests himself to the one who enters the wilderness because to enter the wilderness means to clarify matters. So it is a necessary undertaking, and the encounter with the devil is necessary. We have to see what opposes us if we want to overcome it. Right? So as I said, the wilderness, this fasting, emptiness, solitude is not an end in itself, but it is a means to an end. But one of the ways that it is a means to an end is by seeing what lies across our path, obstructing us from making progress along God's road. And the name for that, ultimately, most fundamentally, is the devil, right? The one who opposes. Diabolos, like the one who stands in front of you, right, and accuses you, is what it means in Greek. Now, this is obviously all about spiritual things, but it's important to say that the body and the spirit are not disparate realities. We talked about this morning at the book, the Lenten book discussion. The body and the spirit are not disparate realities. We tend to think of them as being separate things these days, but they're not. We need to disabuse ourselves of the idea that they are separate, because it isn't true, not according to our teaching, our tradition. We are not just talking about metaphorical stillness and silence, metaphorical fasting. It's important actually to become quiet, actually to be alone from time to time, to sit in solitude, actually to reduce the quantity and the quality of the things that you take into your body, that you eat and drink. That's really important. These are the material conditions of effective prayer, and Jesus says so too. When you fast, here's how to do it, he says, right? When you become empty, he expects this of his disciples. And I will just note, reiterating St. Romuald, that the Psalms are an excellent seedbed for prayer. We talked about that this morning at 9 o'clock too. And what if you did that this Lent? What if you took a little time each day, morning and evening, to sit, to become still, to become quiet, take 10 minutes or something, and to read the Psalms slowly and deliberately? The book of Psalms is in every book of common prayer, by the way. It's in the back of the book. You can see for yourself. It begins on page 345, and they're divided up for recitation, morning and evening through the days of the month, divided up into 60 sections, right? 30 days of the month, morning and evening. So what if you did that during Lent, morning and evening? You sat still, became quiet, and read the Psalms, read through them, the ones assigned for that day, right? Pausing at the asterisk. There's an asterisk in the middle of each verse, which is a place where you're supposed to breathe, right? To breathe in and breathe out. And that too is an indication that the body and the spirit are not disparate realities, right? It's a way of conforming your spiritual prayer to your body, the way that your lungs move, right? So I'm just saying that might be a salutary Lenten discipline that is right there at hand. All you need is a Book of Common Prayer and 10 minutes in the morning and evening. Anyway, this kind of approach to the spiritual life is a tried and true approach. But note well that it is one that takes time. It presumes a discipline over the span of time, right? The point is to stick with it. We are so accustomed, we've been made accustomed and acculturated by our smartphones more than anything else to want instant results, to have a question, to look up the answer and get it and move on to the next thing. But this way of approaching the spiritual life is not that way, right? It requires sitting still for a protracted length of time in your life and doing that deliberately and regularly over the weeks and months and years, right, and even generations. So it's something that is at odds with the way that our brains are being attuned these days. St. Romuald talked about that too. not about smartphones, obviously. They didn't exist in the 10th century. But he talked about the process of becoming frustrated when you try to do this because you're used to the busyness of the world. Romuald said, what if when you're starting out, despite your goodwill, you cannot accomplish what you want? In that case, take every opportunity you can to sing the Psalms in your heart and to understand them with your mind. And if your mind wanders, as it inevitably will, don't give up, but hurry back and apply your mind to the words once more, right? It says your mind's going to wander. Return to the words. It's going to happen over and over again. A sustained discipline over time is what he's talking about. This may all sound kind of hazy, fuzzy, and impractical, but what I would suggest is that our ideas about what is practical are themselves impractical, right? Unrealistic. Our ideas about practicality need to be refined. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world through, as it were, practicality, but lose his soul in the process?" Genuine practicality is the fruit of sustained attention and discipline without illusions. It's a fruit that grows in the wilderness, in solitude, and in silence, marinating in the things of the Lord. And we see, this is the final thing I'll say, we see the end result. I said this is all a means to an end. And we see the end result in the conclusion of today's gospel lesson. How does it conclude? It says, the devil left him, and the angels of God came and ministered to him. Right? Communion with God and the things of God is the end result. And may that be the result for your Lenten journey and for mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.